Recording has been started. You may begin.
Thank you ever so much, Charmaine. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GACA/GNSO Consultation Group call on the 2nd of December 2014. On the call today, we have Manal Ismail, Jonathan Robinson, Carlos Raul Gutierrez, Suzanne Liddell, Nathan Cole, and Brian Wilterfeld. We have apologies from Anna Neves, Abby Doria, and Karim Percy. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Olaf Nordman, Julia Chauvelin, and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like to remind you all to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you ever so much, and over to you now.
Thank you. Welcome all to the call. We have circulated the suggested agenda a day ago, and I hope this addresses the points that we want to raise during this call. So I think first of all, I would like to convey again to the group that Suzanne Radel, the U.S. GAC representative, have generously volunteered to be the counterpart or the contact point from the GAC side to Nathan Cole, the GNSO liaison to the GAC. She will be serving as the contact on the GAC side and also will support us in using the PDP on the IGO-INGO curative rights protection mechanism as a test case for the GNSO and GAC engagement and collaboration. So I just wanted to thank you, Suzanne, and to put this on record and bring it to the attention of those who may have missed your email to the list. So we now have Olaf on the staff side and Suzanne as a GAC counterpart to assist you, Mason, in any GAC GNSO needed coordination and in following up GAC relevant discussions, concerns, or questions. Particularly that you are not on the GAC mailing list. So this was my way of information. If you, Suzanne or Mason, want to add anything, please do. Otherwise, I can proceed with our agenda. So, Mason, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Manal. I just want to say thank you to Suzanne for volunteering to do this. I think it it'll vastly increase the ability for the liaison role to carry out its duties. I'm very pleased that Suzanne has stepped up to do this. Thank you very much, Suzanne. And it looks, Manal, like this can be a very quick agenda item.
Sure. So, Suzanne.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it. And of course, I'm open to collaborating with any other interested GAC members. I just wanted to go ahead and let Mason know that he would have a counterpart.
Thank you, Suzanne, and thank you, Mason, and thank you, Carlos, also for your check mark. So, I think we now, if we move to the following agenda items, I think we're having two streams of discussion emerging now, and those have to do with new PDPs and ongoing PDPs. With respect to new PDPs, we need to know how to ensure GAC early inputs and coordinate the handling of multiple PDPs that are taking place simultaneously. And at the same time, with respect to ongoing PDPs, we need to discuss how we can, how the GAC and the GNSO can engage more effectively and timely to resolve current pressing matters. So Marika has very helpfully fleshed our discussion out into a straw man proposal, highlighting where we stand now and put together our discussed point into a flow chart. So now I think we have something concrete to discuss and build upon. And this flow chart was circulated already prior to our last call, but we did not have the time to discuss it on the last call. So we've circulated it again to have it discussed on today's call. So I hope you had the time to look into the flowchart and maybe provide any feedback you may have now and, of course, later over the mailing list also. So, Brian, go ahead, please.
Hi, Manal. Thank you so much. This is Brian Winterfelt for the transcripts. I want to, first of all, thank Marika for the flowchart. I think it looks great, and I think it was very, very helpful to be able to actually see this put out in chart form like this to get a better sense of how this might look. I had a question regarding a sense of timing, and I guess this is directed to my GAC colleague or potentially as well as Marika. And I was wondering whether or not it would be possible for the Quick Look Committee to review a preliminary issues report and make recommendations and then solicit feedback from the full GAC membership within the public comment window.
Thank you, Brian. I think this is what we're trying to commit to and to propose to our GAC colleagues. I don't think we can commit on to this on this call. We need to have an agreed proposal, a proposal that we agree to as a group, and then share it with both constituencies and then probably have better sense of the timing. But I can see also Marika's hand up. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to give you an idea of the timing or the time frame that is currently available for input during a public comment period, I think we're currently following the 21 plus 21 days, although maybe worth noting if there are no public comments received during the first 21 days, unless we have an indication that you know, groups are working on something or wants to submit something later, we may also close it after the 20 days if we believe that there's no further input forthcoming. And just to note, and maybe Brian wasn't on the call, that Mark was talking about the more substantive input, and I think he had some concerns or I think wasn't with the view that maybe that could only be done by the GAC during actual face-to-face meetings. So I think that will be indeed a question whether that timing would then need to align, if that indeed is the case, that the more substantive input to an issue report, you know, aside from just a quick look mechanism, which is a kind of more standard response, whether that would align with the GAC timetable, if indeed there is the view on the GAC side that would require a face-to-face time and approval.
Thank you, Marika, and I have noticed that so many hands are up now. So before giving the floor to Jonathan, I tried to put this on the mailing list, I think, as a quick flagging of whether a topic is of interest to the GAC or not, or whether the GAC intends to provide input or not. I think we should be flexible in trying to do this intersessionally between the meetings and not necessarily in a face-to-face meeting. But again, I'm not in a position to speak solidly. We need to agree as a group here, GAC colleagues also on the coordination group, and then ultimately with the GAC leadership and other GAC colleagues. So, Jonathan, please go ahead.
Thanks, Manal.
Jonathan?
Yeah, can you hear me now? Manal, can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Good, sorry, just have a soft mute button here, so it took a moment to get off. Yeah, good. So a few thoughts. I mean, this is definitely a very useful tool. It's great that we've got this to work from, and I think it's both feels to me like a useful tool for the group to use and then to communicate and share with the GAC and GNSO communities afterwards, as you suggested. One question I have is around whether the quick look, the relationship between the quick look and what we called the triage before. So I hope someone can answer that. Probably Marika can come in on that. It certainly feels like this is something we can develop. And then I like the idea of rather than assuming that this can or can't work and doesn't require face-to-face at certain points, I mean, it strikes me that out of this, once we've done some more iterations of this and worked on developing this up some more, we'll be wanting to prepare a set of key questions that we either ask ahead of Singapore or take with us to Singapore to try and resolve. But certainly it feels like a great tool to work with and to ultimately share and get buy-in for the process. So that's useful and something we can develop. So I guess the one thing I wanted, those were my remarks, and the one thing I wanted was a comment on the triage. So I see Marika's hand up. I suspect that's in reply. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan and Brian and Suzanne. If we can hear quickly from Marika before giving you the floor. So, Marika, go ahead, please.
Thanks, Manal. This is Marika. So basically, I think the difference between triage and the quick look is that the triage would apply to any requests that the GAC would receive. It wouldn't need to be limited to GNSO requests or, you know, information in relation to PDPs. But the triage committee could recommend that the quick look is the approach to go. I think, or at least that's a bit the thinking behind it, whether triage is just a kind of funnel where everything is received and that triage committee would basically, you know, categorize requests coming in and some of that pile may end up on the quick look mechanism. And of course, if this is a mechanism that you know, the GAC would like, you could of course as well expand that to other mechanisms, you know, basically where a triage committee could use the quick look to say, you know, we should provide input, no, we don't need to provide input, or yes, we want to participate or don't want to participate, and that is then taken to the full GAC for their approval. And I think that's a little bit how the CCNSO uses their triage. The triage makes a recommendation, and it's, I think, often probably standardized, you know, responses. So it is basically the quick look could be a tool for a triage to committee to use, although it could also be a, you know, self-standing mechanism that is automatically applied when a request for our preliminary issue report comes in to the GAC. I hope that helps.
Thank you, Marika. Brian?
Thank you, Manal. This is a question, I guess, for Marika and potentially my GAC colleagues as well. And maybe this is a point of discussion again that still needs to be had among the GAC members and potentially for our meeting in Singapore. But I'm wondering the extent that you all believe that the quick look mechanism could take place during face-to-face meetings versus how much you think you'd be able to do intersessionally, and if you think that you could maybe do the majority of the quick look activity intersessionally if necessary.
Thank you, Brian. I'll give the floor to Suzanne first. Has been waiting patiently, and I'm sure she would address many of those points. Suzanne, please go ahead.
Thank you, Manal. Suzanne here for the record. I think Brian has raised some really good questions, and I do appreciate Marika's explanation of the links between sort of quick look and triage. I believe I have flagged this issue earlier. I do think right now it's a bit challenging for us to be selling this to our counterparts in a vacuum. So we're talking about concepts here, conceptual way of sort of managing a working relationship in a very different way. I think it's got a lot of really solid practical, you know, benefits to it. I do think that I have a question in my mind that goes back to the timeline within the GNSO. So, again, I think we'd like to, at least my sense is, we need to consider how we can package some flexibility on the GNSO side as well. So I'd like to flag, you know, the issue of, is the 21 days set in concrete? If so, then fine, we take that on, and that has to be taken into account on the GAC side. Obviously, I think, Manal, I concur with you, the GAC would make best efforts to do this intersessionally, but I think we're going to have to either do a trial run or a test case or invent something so people can understand how the system is intended to function. We have to test it out. The second element I'd like to flag, I think I have flagged this a couple of times, and maybe this is a subject of discussion face-to-face in Singapore as well. It's the issue of, are there triggers on the GNSO side that we could agree to, so that if the GNSO knows up front that in its consideration of X, Y, or Z issue, that there will be some connection to either national law or international law, that there is an awareness right at the outset that perhaps even before writing the issue report or in the process of, there could be some kind of exchange, some kind of consultation. So I'd like to put both of those issues out there, not for us necessarily to resolve today on the phone, but if I could get your agreement that they are valid issues, that perhaps we could agree to discuss them further in Singapore during the face-to-face, which would also hopefully draw in more colleagues on our side at a minimum so that we can expose them to this working group's thinking. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. And yes, definitely we need to test this, but I think we also need to agree the process or the mechanism that we are going to test. And I don't think we will need to invent something. I'm sure we're going to have a PDP popping up soon enough so that we can test this. Again, just to make sure I understand right, my understanding is that we're talking about just flagging back interest on a certain issue and not preparing GAC input or submitting GAC input. And this is what I was hoping that we can convince our GAC colleagues that we can do intersessionally. Just flagging whether the topic under discussion is of interest to the GAC and the GAC intends to submit input or otherwise. And again, as per my understanding, that once we flag our interest and our intention to submit GAC input, then the GNSO becomes flexible in terms of timing. If we, if we flagged our interest to submit input and requested more time. On the other part on triggers from the GNSO side, I also wrote this issue on the call last time, and I was wondering whether we could add some fields to the current GNSO issue report request form. I'm not sure if you had the time to see this form, and I'm not sure whether we'll be able to add fields to it, but I was suggesting that maybe we can highlight that there is already, for example, a GAC standing advice on this issue so that the GNSO gets alerted on things that that is of interest from the GAC side. So, sorry to keep everyone waiting. Jonathan will take Marika very quickly and then come back to you and Brian. So, Marika, you have a response.
Yes, thanks, Manal. This is Marika. Just to confirm, indeed, what you said, I think the whole idea is, and that goes, I think, as well to Cezanne's point, is that the quick look mechanism serves as a trigger, I think, for both sides. So it's a trigger to the GNSO that, you know, if indeed the GAC says there are likely public policy implications, that the GNSO is put on notice and makes, you know, all efforts to engage with the GAC and you know, is aware that further feedback is forthcoming. But at the same time, it also serves as a trigger on the GAC side to actually start preparing that substantive input, which is, you know, really what the PDP working group needs at the start of its deliberations. So I think that the quick look mechanism in that sense, you know, serves a dual purpose and puts, you know, both groups on notice that, you know, further work and engagement will be needed as, you know, the PDP moves forward in its next phases, and where that you know, the real detailed input is really crucial, which I think, as I've explained before, you know, at the issue report stage, it's really about scoping the issue. So of course, if there's information missing, you know, that should be included, but it doesn't talk yet about solutions or, you know, factoring the different views. It just, you know, highlights them basically or lists them. So so I think that's a bit the idea behind it.
Thank you, Marika. And just very quickly, also Nathan mentioned last time that he can be alerting the GAC on topics that's coming up even before the issue report is put for public comment. So this is also in response to questions to that. So Jonathan, sorry to keep you waiting. Go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. I think a couple of things which it picks up on the theme, probably started by Cezanne, but certainly picked up by a couple of others, which is this concept of having a test case or some sort of trial run. I think I'm certainly in favor of that, but perhaps not on a kind of per PDP basis. Where I'd suggest we might want to go is something similar, but not exactly the same. I would say we should try and get an agreement from both groups, GNSO and GAC, that something along the lines of what we've got here, obviously to be revised over the next forthcoming weeks or whatever the case is our proposed mechanism. But we make it clear that that proposed mechanism is subject to review or iterative improvement. So it's not that we're saying this is your one bite at the cherry to get early engagement with the GNSO process and we'll never let you have another look again or something like that. What it's about is saying, we've got to a point where we think we can propose a viable mechanism. We'd like to try it for 6 months, 12 months, whatever, some sort of predefined period. And sure enough, a few PDPs will come along and we'll learn. And then as long as we build a sort of structured review into it in relatively short time thereafter, I would think that may be a way of doing it rather than trying to put any one particular PDP up as a test case. So that's my thought there. The other thing is going back to the point of the triage thing and just making sure, I know, Marika, you did explain a little. I'm wondering whether we as a group, in a sense, the triage is something for the GAC. It's not really for this group. And I guess what my question to the group is, will we be wanting to make any recommendations to the GAC as a group and say, right, well, here's what we're going to do. Here's our proposal. It has the quick look in it, and here's a flowchart of it. And by the way, we also think you'd be more effective. Is that politically wise? Is it sensible? Is it helpful that we said, and by the way, we also think you need a mechanism, and we're aware of the CCNSO mechanism for triage, or should we just let that that not be something which this group recommends? That's a question, really, I have for the group. And certainly, I think I agree with Marika on that point of, the, you know, when Cezanne was talking about flagging up an issue of law or not, that in effect the trigger is a trigger for both parties. It's a trigger for the GNSO to say, right, we're aware now that the GAC has a potential issue here, and the GAC has, through the quick look mechanism, triggered a point that it then needs to look into more detail. And so it feels like we're getting somewhere. And like I say, my thought is that We potentially put more than one test case through the process by agreeing the process and then running it for a period of time. Thanks.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, I personally fully agree that need to have some starting point. And again, although if having a test case would be helpful, but again, it won't test everything, and it won't take into consideration how are we going to handle, for example, multiple PDPs that are going on simultaneously. So this needs to be looked overall. But again, before I continue, I'd like to give the floor to Brian who's been making a presentation to me. Brian?
Thank you. I just wanted to express support for both what Suzanne and Jonathan said with regard to putting this to the test and actually looking at some PDPs. And I think Jonathan's suggestion of basically agreeing to a framework for this and using it for a certain period of time and letting it actually work and see how it goes with as several PDPs are initiated, I think is a really excellent suggestion. And I think it is really, you know, an excellent point that Jonathan stated that, you know, we can, you know, look at this as what it is, a draft, see how things work in practical terms, and then make adjustments as necessary. I also wanted to echo support for what Suzanne said. I think, you know, we do want to obviously have the GAC look at the preliminary issue report and make a determination on you know, whether or not they have input. But as Suzanne rightfully stated, it won't be a complete surprise from the GNSO side if we're working on an issue that very obviously takes into account national or international law. And so I do think it's useful for us to maybe think about how we can sort of highlight those issues sort of upfront and make the work perhaps easier for our GAC colleagues.
Thank you, Brian. I have Amr next.
Thanks, Manal. This is Amr. I apologize. I was about 10 minutes late in joining the call, so I may have missed this. I was wondering, because the flowchart here includes, there's a trigger initiated by the preliminary issue report of a PDP, and then there's input as a result of the triage mechanism either into the public comment period of the preliminary issue report or to the actual PDP working group at a later stage. I was wondering where the drafting of the PDP charter comes into this, and if that was mentioned, it might be part of the GNSO PDP working group included in that phase. I would think that if a trigger is sort of set after a preliminary issue report is published, that there would be enough time using the quick look mechanism for the GAC to be able to flag that there are indeed public policy implications they would like addressed in a certain PDP, that even if not identified in or communicated in time for the publishing of a final issue report, but at least to be included in the scope of what the PDP work group needs to address in the charter drafting phase. And I was just wondering if this was factored in at all. Thanks.
Thank you, Amr. Can you help me here? Where is this from the drafting of the charter itself?
Well, typically, I guess the preliminary issue report would be published, and as indicated in the flowchart, there would be a 21-day public comment period. And if comments are provided, then there would be a further reply period of another 21 days. And according to the GNSO P manual or operating procedures, there within 45 days after the preliminary issue report is published, then there would have to be a final issue report. But after that, the GNSO Council would, if this is a council-initiated PDP, then they would approve the final issue report. If it isn't, if it's, for example, a board the initiated PDP, then that wouldn't require a council approval. But after the final issue report, then the PDP would go into a charter drafting phase. And the charter, unlike the preliminary issue report, which scopes the issue, the charter actually scopes what the PDP working group will have to look at. And this would include what was presented in the issue report, but could also include other things such as public policy implications. And this has occurred in the past in several PDPs where the charter, whilst being drafted, takes into consideration that there may be legal jurisdiction issues in certain PDPs, and then this was identified by members of the charter drafting team from the GNSO. But I'm guessing that this could also be done using GAC input when public policy implications are identified by the GAC using the quick look mechanism. And I imagine that the time span between publishing a preliminary issue report and completing the drafting of a PDP charter, that there would be at least one ICANN public meeting where the GAC would be able to meet and make a decision on this sort of thing. But I think Marika might have the answer to my question since she came up with this flowchart. Thanks.
John, Marika, and then Olaf. Marika, go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. This is Marika. So on the charter question, I think we didn't include it here as, you know, there is currently different approaches to how a charter may get done, because we're currently experimenting as well with including the charter as part of the preliminary issue report. And, you know, my expectation would be that, of course, if a flag goes up from the GAC noting that there are public policy considerations or concerns, that will be something that we would include as part of the proposed charter, or at least noting that has happened, and that's an area that, you know, the working group would need to pay attention to. Of course, you know, should the GNSO decide that it does want to form a drafting team, I think it's then as well, as I said, you know, I think the flagging of the GAC that there may be public policy issues is, I think, a reason as well for the GNSO to make additional efforts to engage the GAC, and that could, for example, include as well inviting the GAC to take part in the drafting team efforts for the charter, because that is an open exercise. That's not a closed group that's limited only to GNSO participants. Or, you know, alternatively, it could be something where, you know, Mason is asked to contribute to based on, you know, the feedback he has received from the GAC to make sure that is factored in and respected. So I think we didn't write it in here as a set kind of, you know, how that should happen, as there currently isn't a really set approach. But I think the idea is indeed that if there is a red flag, that is factored in, and there may be different ways in which the GNSO could deal with that and really ensure that is factored in as part of the chartering effort.
Thank you, Marika. Olaf?
Thank you, Manal. This is Olaf here, and I just want to latch on to Jonathan's wise words concerning what kind of outcome we have from this group, especially regarding how to establish the quick look mechanism, because indeed it may be, well, there is no use in being overly prescriptive in that, because you can have a triage committee, yes, you can also use an existing committee like the current leadership group, or actually take it to the whole GAC. So there are various means and measures to achieve the quick look mechanism, and I think Jonathan was very wise in saying that we shouldn't be very prescriptive in saying that it should be handled in this particular way. That is a different matter, really. More importantly, and Marika touched upon that as well, that is how to develop a little further what would, if we have sort of like traffic light quick look mechanism with red, yellow, and green light, what would be the implications of what would be the definitions of the yellow, green, and red, and what would be the steps to be taken by both from the GAC side and from the GNSO side in those three circumstances. So that's something to develop further, I believe, and we've touched upon it already, but that in order to have a more complete proposal for discussions in Singapore, I think that would be useful. Thank you.
Thank you, Olaf. And this was going to be my question to the group, and particularly to their colleagues. I noticed that only Suzanne is on this call. What exactly or in what shape or format should we be sharing our suggestions or where we stand with their colleagues? Particularly sensitive to put a very detailed suggestion, and again, on the other side, if we just keep explaining again without any concrete suggestion, it's not that helpful for GAC colleagues to provide feedback or input. So again, I'm open to suggestions as to what's the better way forward and what exactly should we be sharing with both constituencies and particularly GAC in terms of a proposal. Again, I can see a merit of having a test case and trying this, but I think this is going to be one aspect of an overall proposal to be suggesting to that. So, Jonathan?
Thanks, Manal. I hope I'm understanding your question properly, but the way I see this going from here is, based on this useful conversation, I mean, this is the first time we've sort of really had the opportunity, as far as I understand it, to discuss this flowchart representation of what's being proposed, that we update what is being proposed based on the discussion here to the extent that any points have been made or refine it, and then we provide a sort of, if you like, some form of annotation or covering note, which has really a couple of points. A set of statements that indicate what this is. For example, this is a summary of the proposed work that we propose that it is, you know, I'm not just pushing my point here, I'm just using it as an example, but that we propose that the GAC and the GNSO use this for a period of, for example, 6 months and then revisit it for further review, that we have a series of questions we want answered before we do that, though. And so really, I imagine a revised version of this plus a series of questions going out to both groups looking for support and refinement, and then ultimately with a view to publishing it as the proposed process and looking for support for that. I'm not 100% clear in my mind how we get there. It may be that we get it signed off in Singapore and we do some work in between, but that's the sort of route I see us going on. I know it's a little sketchy, but it's along those lines.
Thank you, Jonathan. Sounds good to me. Suzanne?
Thank you, Manal, and thank you, Jonathan. I like that idea. I certainly agree with you and Brian that obviously this is not a done deal, right? We're presenting it as a proposed way forward that we want to get people's feedback and concurrence with. So I have a question that you know, again, I hate to keep imposing on Marika and staff, but it's a question for you. I wonder if instead of using, you know, an explicit test case of something that's current, because we all know that might be a bit challenging, although we'll get to that in a minute, I suppose, the next agenda item. So my question is, if we were to look back at last month or the month before or, you know, at any moment in time, take a snapshot of what the GNSO Council was actually approving, and apologies for not knowing your processes as well as I probably should, so either approving a charter or the initiation of a PVP, if we could actually lay out what that would have looked like, and you could maybe with our help, we could identify two different kind of categories of PVPs or issue reports. One that wouldn't at all seem to have any public policy considerations, or not the obvious, and one that would. Just so people, we can give our GAC colleagues a sense of, well, here is how this is meant to work in practice. So it's just an idea, and it may be a lousy one. So I'm in your hands. Thank you.
Well, actually, I think this is helpful, Suzanne. Thank you. So along with the suggestion, we should be giving examples on what exactly does this mean in the LPDP thing. So I think this definitely would help. So again, I just want to make sure that that colleagues have already seen the second and more detailed quick look mechanism that we're speaking about. It's the second chart, more detailed. And I think we can continue this discussion over the email too, because I don't want to be taking the time of other agenda items. So if we don't have any further comments on this agenda item, I recommend that we continue the GAC GNSO dialogue on going topics, which is the IGO, IGO. So I can see no further requests for the floor, so we'll be moving to our next agenda item. Again, it was agreed that we use the PPP on IGO, IGO, Purified Protection Mechanism as a test case to foster the GAC-GNSO collaboration, particularly where views of both constituencies are different. And as was highlighted over email, there were already some questions posed, and Mason had been alerted on the GAC approach. Would have been able to respond to those questions, which is again part of the valuable role of the NSO in the GAC. So. With this, I may be handing over to Mason and Suzanne to just get us through this agenda item and let us know of any problems we have. So, Mason, would you like to start? Please go ahead.
Thank you, Manal. on this issue, I do have the questions almost prepared for the GAC review. I understand not only is Suzanne stepping into the role as a counterpart for me on the GAC, but she and Mark Carvel are on point for this issue on behalf of the GAC. So hopefully today, in fact, I should have those questions forwarded to Suzanne and Mark. And that's where that stands. I mean, the questions are being prepared. They should be out today. That's my hope.
Suzanne?
Thank you, Manal, and thank you, Mason. Just a quick update for colleagues, and apologies, Mason, if I hadn't conveyed this. It is actually, on the GAC side, it is the GAC chair, Thomas Schneider, who has asked me to work with him because, of course, we need to do a sort of a three-way exchange. So it's GAC, GNSO, and the NGPC, because we're trying to kind of close that final loop and draw some, what shall I say, draw the threads together that have been a little bit apart, if you will, between the GAC and the GNSO. So for the NGPC to be able to kind of put this particular issue to bed in a way that is satisfactory and complementary to what both the GAC and the GNSO are seeking, there is meant to be a three-way exchange. We on the GAC side have received a document from the IGO Coalition We are still reviewing it, so my apologies that I can't provide more information. It is also under review by the NGPC. So as I understand things on the GAC-NGPC side, there remains, the question is sort of for those acronyms, and it's not a huge universe, for those IGO acronyms where there are legitimate third-party users, I'll give the obvious one, the World Health Organization, we still need to find a mechanism for notification and then dispute resolution. So that's kind of where we are in the GAC side. I'm very much looking forward to getting the GNSO PDP working group's questions. Having read the transcripts from their last two meetings, I do know that they have they are looking at this question of IGO legal immunity and concerns, which have constrained IGOs, and I expect will continue to, from using the UDRP or the URS. So that's why we're in this particular situation. But again, this is going to be very helpful for us going forward to know exactly what the PDP working group is seeking from the GAC in terms of clarity. And I think this could, hopefully, I've got my fingers crossed, this will be a useful test case of some sort that we can then point to and build on. Thank you.
Thank you, Sudan. There is Marika. Is this an old hand?
No, it's a new hand.
Okay, then Marika and then Jonathan. Marika, go ahead.
Thanks, Manal. This is Marika. Just to note in relation to looping in the NGPC, I just want to point out, and I think both you know, Suzanne and Mesa are probably very aware of that, of course, some of the, I think, issues that are being dealt with, you know, flow across two PDPs. You know, there's, of course, the curative rights PDP that's specifically looking at the curative rights mechanisms, but there's also still the other IGO-INGO PDP that is still somewhat in the holding dock, or some of the recommendations are being considered, are still under consideration by the NGPC, and some dialogue has happened in that regard to, you know, between the NGPC and the GNSO Council. And I think the GNSO Council is currently waiting for a response from the NGPC to confirm some of its assumptions that were made based on the initial letter that was received. So I think I just want to make sure as well that as this dialogue happens, that, you know, things do not necessarily get mixed between, you know, those two issues, as, you know, of course, the curative rights PDP working group is looking at a very specific issue while the other questions are being dealt with at a council level. So I think in regards to bringing in the NGPC, that probably should happen in the dialogue with the council on these issues in relation to the outstanding recommendations. While I think, indeed, on the curative rights, those are some specific questions that the working group is putting forward, hoping to get input from the GAC, as well as, I think, the IGOs on those issues to help inform its deliberations. So I just want to make sure that everyone's clear that there are two different parts here that I think, you know, have some overlap, but that we need to make sure as well that the, you know, right parties are involved as those conversations happen.
Thank you, Marika. I can see Mason and Ahmed on both. So, Jonathan, please go ahead.
Hi, Manal. Can you confirm that you can hear me?
Yes.
Wonderful. Okay. I have not ever managed to make my microphone work with Adobe before, so this is a watershed moment. I have 2 points, really. One, reinforcing Marika's point, that we should proceed with care here in the sense of making sure that issues don't get mixed up as to where they're being dealt and how they're being dealt with. We've got a sort of legacy with the previous PDP that needs that's still being worked on and tidied up, and then there's the curative rights, which is, of course, a follow-on PDP on a very closely related issue. And just make sure we segment where the work is being done there. And secondly, which is a connected point, is that I'm reluctant to use the word test case here. I think it's great that we are working together, the GNSO and the GAC, and we're probably working together more effectively or potentially more effectively as a result of
being having been working together in this group, in this consultation group. So I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm all in favor of us making whatever progress we reasonably can, making best use of Nathan and Suzanne and Mark's best efforts and so on. I'm just slightly reluctant to use the phrasing test case because I worry that it might reflect badly on the work we are doing, because in many ways it isn't completely appropriate to call this a test case in that one PDP is a long way past the beginning and another PDP is a little way into its life cycle, and therefore neither is in effect a test case for early engagement. So that's, in some ways it's all about semantics and just making sure that we don't unravel some of our really good work, and in fact on the contrary that we benefit from the effective working relationships and the work we've done so far. So those are my thoughts in connection with that. Thanks, Suzanne. I note your point in the chat. I appreciate you picking up on that.
Thank you, Jonathan. Yes, and like Suzanne, I also see you. So thank you for that. So any further comments on this agenda item? Again, we can definitely continue the discussion on course, without getting into the substantial issues of the discussion, but rather how we can facilitate this to take place. But, so if you don't have any further comments on this item of the time, I would like to proceed to the following agenda item. And I think it would be beneficial to fix the date of the upcoming call, again, in light of the Doodle call that has taken place. So I think we have the potential date of Tuesday, 16th, January 6th, 20th, and February 3rd. I recall that, yes, thank you. So on the 20th, we have everyone confirmed, so this is definitely a mixed call. Don't have everyone confirmed, particularly from the GAC side, on the call in February. So again, we can leave this till later. And we can see whether this call is needed or not. And again, this is my suggestion, which is, again, subject to discussion. So this keeps us with Tuesday 16 and Tuesday 6. Again, we have good attendance and we can see the calls. So, here and
Manal, this is Marika. We have a hard time hearing you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Is this better?
Much better.
Hello? Okay. I was just concluding from the Doodle poll, so if you have any feedback, I'm open to suggestions. I was saying that the 20th seems to be confirmed by everyone, so this is one poll to confirm. The last poll could be, the decision could be postponed and we can see whether needed or not. And then we need to decide whether to proceed with both calls, Tuesday 16th and Tuesday, January 6th. So I can see Jonathan confirming that the schedule looks good, 16th, 6th, 20th, and 3rd. So if no further comments, I think we should mark our calendars for the remaining four calls with the current availabilities, just to make sure that everyone marks their calendars. So. And yeah, okay, thank you, Amra. And Amra agrees that we can determine whether a call on the 3rd is necessary or not. So the last call could be reconfirmed as we go, but at least for now we have 3 confirmed calls on December 16th, Jan 6th, and Jan 20th. So, before we conclude, and since we have Jonathan on the call, I would like to very quickly brief you, Jonathan, on what we seem to converge regarding Singapore logistics. So there were suggestions, I think, Brian or maybe Mason, for an informal get-together over lunch in Singapore. And I believe this is a good suggestion as we, as the late meetings on the Sunday seem to have very low attendance. So maybe lunchtime would be better. I suggested for simplicity and for flexibility that everyone may. They want to get his or her own lunch and grab something and gather in a reserved meeting room. Suzanne also suggested that we might want to consider inviting some members of the IGO-INGO-PDP working group to join us, which I believe is a good suggestion. And this would serve as a good opportunity, again, to discuss some outstanding issues. So I see Mason agreeing, and I see Brian's hand up. Brian?
Hey, Kimonal. I think lunch is an excellent idea. I wanted to let everyone know that I did reach out to Glenn DeSangeri and made the suggestion to see if she could maybe book space and have I can possibly provide lunch for all of us. She, I think, is moving forward with that request. And I think it would be helpful if our GAC colleagues were able to maybe coordinate with Glenn to also make the same request from their side. And I just want to also support what Manal stated. I think it would be very helpful to people from the IGO, INGO, PDP working group, and also for us to reach out to other GAC members or GNSO counselors who might be interested in this topic and to have a chance to give them a briefing and maybe get their feedback as well at this point in the process.
Thank you, Brian. And it was Suzanne's suggestion to extend invitations to the IGO, INGO, PDP working group. But again, and we can, and we do this usually, we extend invitations to GAC members. And I think we would consider this as our face-to-face meeting as well. So I see Marika's hand up. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just made a suggestion in the chat. As I noted, you know, having a separate lunch meeting, you know, we can definitely arrange the room. I think providing lunch may be more complicated. I think you already suggested as well that, of course, you know, there are a lot of food courts around, so people can pick up some lunch and we can just get together in a room. Alternatively, you know, the GNSO typically does have, I think, a working lunch on Sunday, and I think in the past we, for example, had, you know, the EWG come and visit at that time and have conversations. So maybe that could be an alternative approach to have a working lunch session on the Sunday as part of the GNSO meeting schedule, which would then, you know, automatically, you know, bring at least all the GNSO colleagues to the table. And, you know, of course, the invitation could also be extended to other, you know, GAC members that may be interested in just passing by and seeing what's going on.
Okay. Thank you, Marika. Yes, and I'm also this is a good idea. So I noticed that Jonathan have to drop off, and we're already at the hour. So again, we can have the exact date and time slot shared on the mailing list, and we can confirm this and convey it to our constituents as well over email. So if there are no further requests to speak, we can conclude here. So I see none. So I thank you all for joining the call, and hope we continue discussions over the email. And see you all on the next call on December 16th. So this meeting is adjourned. And can we stop the recording, please?
Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, everyone.